My views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line from back in Missouri, Joyce Riley. Hi, Joyce. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's my pleasure. Hey, I just realized that beautiful voice singing when you come on the air, that's your wife, Barbara, isn't it?
No, that really isn't.
No,
that's some proprietary music we had to get because of some fake federal regulation. No, that's not Barbara. She sings very, very softly, but she's got a very sweet voice.
She does, and it sounds like her sweet voice, I have to tell you.
Well, what will we talk about today? Did you want to talk about Iraq? Would you like to talk about the depleted uranium? What subject would you like to bring out to our listeners?
Well, I think I'd like to talk about the fact that we're getting reports from all over the country right now of troops returning that are getting absolutely no care whatsoever. And I mean people that are going in that are sick, people that are unable to fend for themselves, basically. They have many, many problems, and the Department of Defense is telling them there's nothing wrong with them. Now, the problem here, though, is that we have got I don't know if you're familiar with the number, but did you know how many troops have already been to Iraq and Afghanistan and back now?
I don't know. What is it? How many?
Close to 1 million.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
Close to 1 million troops that are coming back that are quite ill. And these troops are not being treated, because if they treat them, of course, they're going to draw attention to the fact that they're sick. So they've done this purposeful issue or diagnosis of PTSD, stress-related, whatever you want to call it.
Now, I've heard about somewhere between about 30% of those that are returning are ill. Is that an accurate figure, or is it higher than that?
Well, that's 30% that are sick from problems that have nothing to do with a wound on the battlefield.
Right, right.
So, yes, it's a very accurate. In fact, as of last year, over 109,000 troops were on permanent disability that had nothing to do with battlefield injuries. 109,000. We're starting the same thing over again we did in the first Gulf War. The way that they do it is they go and get somebody to make a statement such as, we can make no positive finding, there is no peer-reviewed research, blah, 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 whatever it is, and totally mitigate the issue of whatever it is that our vets are suffering from. In this case, they use the RAND Corporation to bring up and dredge up some kind of phony DU report that, hey, DU is just fine, don't worry about it. We can't figure out any problem why these troops might be sick, so obviously it is mental problems. So now we've got them linked in the mental problem category, and I have to tell you that if you open the Air Force Times or the Army Times or the Navy Times, you're going to see a display of crime that sounds like the news on Fox News. Homicides created by our troops, and I'm talking about homicides here in the States. One troop killed his 19-year-old wife. A troop killed his children. You know, the kinds of murders you never heard about in the military are happening very, very frequently, and way too frequently. So the question is, what's going on with these troops? Why are they killing? What is it they're bringing back with them? And what can we expect from nearly 1 million troops once they have these same kinds of psychological problems?
And, of course, what a better way to destroy a nation or the men who might fight to save that nation than to send them overseas to fight for freedom and do something that would make them sick for the rest of their lives, as we did with the veterans of the first Gulf War. So it is. We're seeing this more today. We'll be back in just a moment with Joyce Rice here. Joyce Riley here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley, who, she was in the military, a captain in the military, was in the first Gulf War, got the Gulf War illness, but now she has her own radio program that is heard not only across America, but across the world, and of course Joyce is up on Telstar Telstar 5, and I'm up there and she's up there 9 hours a day. And if you having difficulty getting any of our programs, you can always get a very inexpensive Telstar dish and receiver, and of course no charge at all to listening to Joyce 9 hours a day on Telstar 5. Under any circumstances, Joyce is talking about the troops that are coming back from Iraq, and there's about 1 million now that have rotated through there. And about 30% of them, within 3 months of coming home, are ill. Now, you're not hearing about this in the media because they don't want you to know about this. But they have all sorts of excuses. Oh, it's a post-traumatic stress syndrome. Oh, well, it's all mental. And that's why so many of them are ill. Now, we're not talking about the battlefield injuries. We're talking about another illness. 30% of them. We have these figures right out of the paper, and we could always document that for those that like to know. So you pick up the story, Joyce, because I know you're concerned that neither the veterans nor their families nor the public is realizing that these people are being poisoned.
Well, they're being poisoned, and Dr. Stan, as you know, there's a recent story coming out about half of all the military, or half of all the people that are homeless, are former military. So what happens when these troops come back, and they're telling me this now, that they are homeless, they have no place to get medical care, it's a pre-existing condition, so obviously there's no health insurance for them. They can't go to the county hospital for free care, because then if they find out they have veterans benefits and all they have to do is tap into the computer, they find that out, or they're supposed to have veterans benefits, they tell them you have to go be seen at the VA hospital. So now what's going to happen when we have almost 1 million troops that become ill, and what percentage of them I don't know, that might be homeless, need money, and start to donate their sperm, or the women donate their eggs, or they donate their blood? What is going to happen when we create a monster in this country, as has been said by some physicians, a noted pediatrician in Austin, Australia, who said that this will affect 7 generations. It is destroying the DNA of these troops. We've got real unfortunate, quote-unquote, and I hate to say this, hell to pay as a result of sending these troops to this bizarre area, a sandy area, then they're basically just filling it full of depleted uranium. And of course,
hold that thought right there, Joyce. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Joyce Rod, and we're talking about the depleted uranium poisoning that is poisoning our troops. Now, you're not hearing about that from the media. There's a cover-up, just as there was a cover-up about Agent Orange. And now, I mean, what was it, 30 years after the war ended, why they suddenly acknowledged, yes, after Vietnam ended, yes, Agent Orange was toxic, yes, it did poison a lot of our boys, yes, a lot of them are coming down with lymphoma and leukemia, and we're going to give them a 5 or 10 or 20% disability rating, and so many of the veterans of the Vietnam War are getting, now accepted as having a real disability because they were poisoned with Agent Orange, but the government lied about it. Now, they were poisoned with depleted uranium and, of course, other things during the first Gulf War. And about how many people are ill from the first Gulf War? Do we have any idea?
Well, we know that it's somewhere over 400,000, and with the figure of 697,000 that served during that time, we know there's over 400,000 because 225,000 as of 2 years ago had been declared permanently disabled. The other 50% of that, or the other 200,000, has unfortunately been turned down for any compensation because they made the mistake of putting Gulf War illness as their diagnosis. And, of course, the Department of Defense does not address Gulf War illness. In fact, the UK just recently rescinded all declarations of Gulf War illness, and the troops in the UK are now having their compensation taken away that were given it in the beginning. So there is no Gulf War illness, and if the Department of Defense says there is no Gulf War illness, then the VA cannot compensate for anything that does not exist. Therefore, you have Vietnam veterans. There is no Agent Orange exposure at the VA hospital. There is no Gulf War illness exposure, and there is no DU exposure. The Department of Defense has recently purchased all of the diagnostic equipment to determine whether or not someone has depleted uranium in their bodies, in their blood, in their bone marrow, in their semen, or whatever. And they recently bought up all the equipment and have cast these guys to the side of the curb and told them, there is no testing for it. So we're committing another whole group of veterans. And I have to tell you, Dr. Stan, it is just so painful to see the same thing happening again that we tried so hard to stop, so hard to try and get the people to understand. And yet everybody seems to be more concerned about the $20,000 bonus that's going into the military rather than the fact that they may die as a result of their service and die a very slow and a very painful death.
I think that's so difficult for people to believe that there really could be something like depleted uranium, and they would not be reading about it on the front pages of our papers, or that Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or all these so-called conservatives would not be telling us about it. But the truth of the matter is, it's true, and you can go up, and of course, I first became convinced this was the real entity by going to the Royal Institute of Medicine over in Great Britain, which is probably a pretty impartial medical organization, far more impartial than the AMA or the other bought-off organizations here in America, which have all been infiltrated with people who are not revealing the truth, they're to conceal the truth. But after certainly doing that and then looking at the scientific studies, there's no question in my mind that depleted uranium is a very real problem. And incidentally, Joyce has put out a wonderful DVD on that, which we will be carrying. What's the title of that?
It's called Beyond Treason.
Beyond Treason. We just purchased a supply of those because we think this is such an important issue. You pick up the story there.
Well, Beyond Treason is a story of experiments that have been done on the military in the past 50 years. And I wanted to tell you, Dr. Stan, that the veterans are so incredibly grateful that we have done this. I get thank you letters all the time now saying, thank you, at least the story is out there, and you have helped my family to understand, you've helped my friends to understand. In all of the DVDs that have been distributed, we have never had one person, not one, say that there is anything wrong with this documentary. In other words, it's factually correct. And the CD-ROM that comes with it, I hope that you've had a chance to look at that CD-ROM. There is half the size of an encyclopedia on that CD-ROM that comes with the DVD that is literally the documents the government doesn't want you to have. Now, of course, you've got Senate report, the Rockefeller report that you can find nowhere else. The memos that came from the Joint Chiefs of Staff came from Colin Powell and General Schwarzkopf during the first Gulf War are just, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at those. They're called the Missing 308 Gulf Link files.
Why don't you tell us our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, those 308 files are documents coming from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and it shows the military bases that they were distributed to and the people in charge of that base that received that message. Then it discusses, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the fact that the U.S. government knew there were biological weapons there, knew there were chemical weapons prior to sending our troops in there, knew exactly where they were housed, could tell you how many trucks were parked outside the areas that they were hiding these weapons, and knowing that we were sending our troops into this quagmire, this unbelievable toxic fate to which they were going to come out ill, knowing full well that they had compromised equipment that they were wearing, and there was no way that these troops could come out and be healthy in any way, shape, or form. So these 308 messages are just unbelievable, and once you read it, you will see that, yes, there was anthrax on the battlefield because they reported how many of the Iraqi soldiers got sick from the anthrax. Now, that raises the question, then, who used the anthrax on the battlefield? According to the messages that we have there, it looks like the U.S. had used it. And we know that the U.S. had C-130s that had chemicals on board because we were told about how the flags were thrown out of the aircraft to signal that there were chemicals on board prior to anybody coming on board the aircraft. So we know that these things took place. The U.S.
What a wonderful way to experiment with all these things, and then nobody would ever know what had happened. And because there's a great deal to suggest that they did that during the Korean War with certain types of different viruses they spread there. But they could never admit this sort of thing because that would be a violation of all international law. But to experiment on American troops, they've done that time and again. But even better still, to experiment on Iraqi troops. But never let the American people know that anybody would do a thing like that.
Well, and the sad part is that when they were selling those biologicals to Iraq in the 1980s, mid-1980s to late 1980s, they knew full well what they were doing. They were arming Saddam Hussein, and of course with Operation Nimble Archer, which was a mid-1980s project to align the U.S. military with the Iraqi military, in which Saddam Hussein was killing his own people, as we all know. However, they used the U.S. Special Forces to deploy the weapons, or to assist in training them to deploy the weapons, as well as everything down to arranging the nozzles on the Bell helicopters that were sold to the Iraq government to do that.
Actually, I interviewed one of the Special Forces, American Special Forces, who was over there helping the Iraqis use the chemical weapons on the Iranians, a total violation of all international agreements, that they can't let the American people know that we were helping the wicked Saddam Hussein use the chemical weapons that he used to kill, you know, hundreds of thousands of Iranians.
And so when the trials began, the war crimes trials against Saddam Hussein, you noticed that it was 1983 was the year that they chose, not when he killed the people in Halabja, but in 1983, because subsequent to that, 1984 on, the U.S. government was the one that was there, directly involved with Saddam Hussein in the killing of those innocent people. So, you know, this is an old story that goes back to the very highest levels of the good old boys. And the good old boys have controlled this, just as we now know that Donald Rumsfeld was involved in the sale of the reactors to North Korea. Donald Rumsfeld was involved with Gilead Sciences in making of the so-called antidote to the
avian epidemic, right? Tamiflu. It was his company that created the Tamiflu. They're spending billions of dollars to buy if it's to protect us from the avian flu. Isn't that nice? I'm sure Donald Rumsfeld is becoming a very, very wealthy man, just as he became a very wealthy man after he forced the FDA to agree to release Nutrasweet aspartame on the American people. It produces brain tumors and all sorts of congenital abnormalities and decreased fertility, but mainly all sorts of malignancies. They knew that. The FDA had kept it off the market for 15 years, but that's why it's available in almost all of our processed foods today.
And so that's why we call it beyond treason,
right?
Because this is totally beyond treason.
I mean, it's so unbelievable that the average American said this couldn't really be going on.
The military know that it's true. In fact, I have to tell you that I'd like to do Beyond Treason, too, because we have received phone calls from those that were involved in certain experiments that were never talked about with the U.S. military. I mean, never talked about openly. There are, of course, the radiation experience or the atomic veterans, the Vietnam veterans, and the drug BZ that was used, which is a hallucinogenic and paranormal drug. And in the documentary Beyond Treason, we show how the U.S. government knew full well about BZ. You can go online right now, just put in BZ, in quotes, put in Vietnam, and it'll give you the information on it. But it's something that you don't hear about at the VA. They will not tell you about that the U.S. government sprayed our troops because it gave them a hallucinogenic drug that lasted not days, but weeks. And the greatest friendly fire experiments were stopped.
Well, there are too many stories that are going on that the average individual says this could not be true. I mean, if it were true, everybody would know about it, or somebody would know about it. And that's why you sit tomorrow and get this DVD, which we're going to be carrying, called Beyond Treason, or the from the Veterans Administration in 1994. Actually, if you get Beyond Treason, why, you'll get that on the disc. But we do actually have copies of the report. They made up 30 copies for the entire nation. They actually gave them to certain of the congressmen. They have their copies, but for regular distribution, there were only 30 copies. You have to ask yourself why. Only 30 copies for a nation of 300 men. Well, Joyce, go ahead and pick up the story there.
You know, and I also like offering it. When you have those DVDs that you get, that the listeners can purchase from you, I'd like to offer one DVD along with that they can give to a veteran. So if people purchase from you the DVD Beyond Treason, I will give you one. for them to get to a veteran.
All right, fine. I'll take you up on that. Yes. Right, that's very generous of you.
Because that's the whole goal of this, is get it to the veteran. You know, I've told people that when they take these, you know, put them in a case that has three X's on it and put it by the smoking area of the VA hospital. You know, or take it to a truck stop and put "not for public release" on it. And leave it someplace. It'll be gone in a heartbeat. I've had responses from people like that who have contacted me and said, "I had no idea." You will not believe how grateful these veterans are. I don't care if you served in Korea. I don't care if you were World War One. We had a World War II guy who came to a meeting that I gave in Austin the other day. He was 92 years old. And he said, "Ma'am, I just have been hearing all about you, and I just wanted to see if you were real." He was 2 years old. He served in Korea and in the Second World War. And he came and he wanted to see, and he couldn't believe it. He could not believe that what has happened. He wanted his copy of Beyond Treason to get out because we were giving them away free to the veterans. And you know, that's the beauty of this, is I can't make them any better, but I can help them to understand where it all came from. Why did they have deformed children? Why did they have all these problems all their lives with skin problems, skin funguses from Vietnam, Gulf War, headaches, GI problems? I can't do anything about those things, but I can help them put it together. And a lot of them have gone to the VA and said, "Okay, now, we need to talk. We need to explain to me why this information exists." And, of course, the Department of Defense